No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All aboard!
We play. That's what we do. We don't talk, we play. You come to Foxborough, it's going to be snowing, it's going to be cold. Come on in here. You want to say all you want? You want to change the rules? Change them. We still play, and we win. That's what we do.
Oh my goodness, finally, the boys are back after an epic disaster of the last 2 weeks. I mean, just disaster after disaster with Malcolm Go Studios. It is on brand. We got one week. I don't record Tyler's audio, and I couldn't figure it out till about 15 minutes before this podcast. I had to listen to Vince and Tyler talk about fucking pitching wedges and things for the last 45 minutes while I was trying to fix the audio, and I finally figured it out. So we got Tyler in studio. Well, not in studio. Live, and of course...
Snake's here.
Snake's back. Snake's back. Kenneth is actually... I don't know if this is giving away his... I don't know if I should even say, but he's flying around in important people today. He's not,
is he? Oh, yeah, he is. I don't think we should...
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't do that. But he's not going to come on the pod. And I got to apologize for the lack of podcasts and the lack of game recaps. My audio has been a disaster. I updated my computer, and my audio hijack app was just fucking haywire for 3 weeks until I YouTubed it and figured it out. Turns out all I had to do was unplug it and re-plug it in.
I just got reminded of this. Like,
go for
sometimes
it.
Like I'll check in on like the Reddit, like Malcolm Go Reddit.
Yeah.
So there
they
was
started a small militia in there.
Yeah. There was a comment that like it was so fucking unbelievably
vicious
towards me.
Towards you?
Yeah, but I think I was like really fucked up when I saw it or something, and I thought I would just like, I don't know. I didn't screenshot it and I can't find it.
Where's this Malcolm Go Reddit? I need to fucking be a member of.
This guy said, like, I don't know who this fucking kid is, but like he just comes on, doesn't know, like contributes nothing.
That could have been Dominic. That could have been anybody, really.
To Patriots football. And, like, he's clearly going to kill himself any day now. Like, I'm praying he does. It
was that Discord or was that Reddit?
Yeah, I think it was Reddit. It was the one that blew up during Jerseygate.
Okay.
Reddit?
Yeah, that was Reddit. When we had Jerseygate. Yeah, it was.
It was all about Jerseygate. And then, like, one guy was saying, like... Dude, hey, it was so bad. Like, I showed my wife. I was like, holy shit.
You should call. I got to call someone. I'm going to go to the hospital. I do remember that. I mean, people on Reddit, I mean, I'm no stranger to being rude on the internet. So these people have no, they've got no qualms with sticking us.
I completely agree with everything you said. Like,
this guy's
bad.
Got a point. Yeah. I do that all the time. My wife said the other day, like, she got like her uncle, whatever, makes like stuffed peppers that are like long Italian peppers. They're not like, you know, red bell peppers. And she got them and like ate them, like they're small, right? And her mom was asking her a question, like, what did you give to Tony? Did you give him some of your peppers? She's like, no, I ate them. They were small. And she's like, you didn't serve them to your husband with like a side dish or something? And my wife was like, no, they were small. Why would I do that? And I was like, hold on, let's listen to her point. I was like, let's listen to your mom's. I mean, your mom's got a serious point here that I agree with. Why didn't you serve it to me with a nice side?
A traditional Italian woman.
Yeah, exactly. She's Irish, but she respects an Italian when it's done correctly.
Oh, yeah. Well, just Saugus staple.
That is. They understand how to take care of their man.
But I just can't believe how on brand, like, Malcolm Go is the last few weeks. Like, it always blows my mind. Because what is it? Was it two? Because we missed a week.
No, last week, everyone ditched me. One got recorded, though.
Two weeks ago,
me and Tyler actually had a good podcast.
I thought it was solid.
One of our better podcasts ever.
Yeah.
And it just didn't record Tyler's audio. And that was the issue with tonight. I had to update everything, restart my computer. It just wasn't recording the audio from the internet. So it was just me talking to myself. So it was kind of like a look inside my brain because it was literally just me. And it also makes me realize how little I let anybody else talk. I mean, it's literally, I was like, wow, we recorded a lot tonight. And then there's like little gaps of like an eighth of a second.
That's what the head of the podcast.
What the people want.
What were we talking about that day? I forget. There was something big. Was that
nobody will ever remember? I mean,
I was just really excited about the opener. Like, I literally posted it just so I could post the opener of Donald Trump saying, Columbus Day, we're back, Italians. We're back. Yeah. That was the whole reason I posted it.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was just like your memory of it was just a tribute to the best podcast ever created. Like, I'm sure dicks were mentioned, like locker room dick size was mentioned within 15 minutes.
All the hits.
Yeah, we usually go right down our Rolodex of hits.
We had a long like existential conversation at the end about something. It was about how like
I posted it on Patreon for people to listen to for free if they wanted to listen to me just talk to myself and just guess what Tyler was saying.
Yeah. I mean, what makes me laugh though is like, I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't even really think about it. And then one of my aunts that like I swear to you, I thought she died. I didn't even know she was still alive.
She probably texted her on Reddit.
She texted me. She was like, no pod anymore? You guys don't pod anymore?
People get upset when we don't pod. Like, I literally...
She's 60 years old. She lives in California. She texts me. She's a Cowboys fan. She texts me. She was like, did you guys quit the pod? And I'm like, I didn't even think you were alive.
Miss, so you can't be texting me from the grave. Go back.
No. And then I called my mother, and she's like, oh, no. Yeah, she's definitely alive and well.
Nancy?
They call her Crazy Jane. She's 70 years old and she works at Walmart. So
love that. She's going to have a rough November, I can tell you that. If those SNAP benefits don't come in.
No, it's bad. EBT is down bad.
It's bad. I had a couple friends reach out with like, did you guys give up? Is that it? It's a wrap? I can unsubscribe? I was like, no. Subscribe and like and post. Smash that like button. What are you talking about?
Unsubscribe and resubscribe is what we need.
Yeah, we're trying to draw people in by this.
We found our nice niche here. We're right here in the nice and the meaty part of the curve where the podcast listeners really just use us for like, you know, when they're lonely and they have no friends or life and they're thinking about killing themselves, that they just need background noise while they get the shotgun. That's a real good.
I mean, even where we belong. We have to be 8 minutes into the podcast. We haven't. I don't think we've said Patriots once.
That's because it's a tailgate pod. I've branded it a tailgate podcast. It's for the boys when you're talking shit at the tailgate. It's not really. I'm not breaking down X's and O's, Vince.
When you park, we roll in, we park. Are we talking about the game in the first 5 minutes? No.
I don't think we talk about the game almost at all.
No, we're talking about the drive-in, who annoyed everybody, who had to take a shit and didn't, who tried to bail out.
What are we making on the grill? Yeah. Why is there no energy in the stadium? And then we get into how Drake's going to look in those silver pants, slinging the fucking rock around the yard. Do we have an MVP in our hands, boys?
We have an MVP conversation, although one of those picks, like last game, I was like, yikes.
Yeah.
But I didn't worry me for a second.
What's weird? Is I get the feeling of like going into every game, like, well, the shoe's going to drop and we do stink, right? Like, and it just never happens. We're just awesome.
Keep dominating everyone. I mean, I'm not even joking when I tell you, like, I don't know what part of my brain, like, doesn't work. I still think that Tom Brady's going to suck one day. Like, that's how my brain works. Like, I was like, he's a 6th-round pick. This is all just smoke and mirrors. There's no way he's going to be this good tomorrow. And then just, you know, he's been retired for 10 years. Going to be in the Hall, you know, best quarterback of all time. So I'm just thinking, like, yeah, you should be great as a 1st-round pick, third pick overall. But I'm just like, he's still in the second year. He's going to all of a sudden suck. And he's got the best, like, passer rating of 25 yards and over in history by, like, a fucking mile. I mean, how good was Tom Brady in 2007? He's lapped him, like, 20 times. Like, but it's only it's half a year, but it's fucking half a year.
You have to think that, like, Josh is also in his bag right now.
Josh is in his fucking bag, and I've been all over that WEEI guy. He won't get back to me.
No, because he's a coward.
He's a coward that was wrong, and he won't admit it. And that guy he had, like, a weekend show, like, Saturday. It was a gambling show for 2 hours. They brought it down to 1 hour, and they fired
him. Wait, are we talking about Mutt? Oh, no.
Lifshatz?
Not Mutt.
It's Lifshatz. Do you know him?
Lifshatz. Not Mutt.
No.
I don't know this guy.
I do like it when Tony gets you in your crosshairs, it's relentless.
I bring it up every Saturday. I go at him, and I go at Tom E. Curran, because Tom E. Curran said, I mean, he doubled down on it, too, that he would have drafted J.J. McCarthy over Drake May. And that wasn't even with the trade back. He was like, I would have took J.J. McCarthy then. And I'd fucking been just berating him every Sunday. I say, anything, Tom? And then I always go, anything on this, Dan? Every Sunday. And some guy actually followed up on my Twitter like 2 days ago and wrote something. Was like, any news? What do you write? He responded to my tweet that was literally like 6 weeks old. And he goes, Dan, update? This guy, Johnny Hammersnicks. Actually, it was 11 hours ago. I love this guy. Fucking follow up, boys. If you're on Twitter, at Brady Disciple, go at Dan Lifshatz. He's the number one certified fucking Josh McDaniels hater for no reason. Makes no sense whatsoever. The man is in his bag.
I had to leave Twitter because I think I was going to get arrested. And
Snake?
It was just getting ugly. But like I just can't. I haven't found a way to fill that hole. Well,
go on Twitter, Vince, but create a Patriots account.
No, I don't care about that. Like, just to see you getting into it with boys. Like, I mean, at absurd hours. Like, we're talking about prime work hours. it's a 3 hour war.
I have three screens at my computer at my desk. One is that has blueprints to the left. To the right is my Outlook, all my email, and the center is Twitter. In the middle one. It runs all day, and I fucking talk shit all day. And I opine on certain things, and I refresh it. I mean, I'm surprised I don't have fucking index finger cancer by the amount of times I fucking refresh my Twitter. It's like, it's just all day. But
the funny thing is, too, because every single day Tony sends out a tweet that he thinks is this is the one that breaks.
Elon shadow banned me. He doesn't want me to get my proper regard as a Patriots Twitter influencer. They save it for like the fucking Spike Kings of the world. I don't know who gets to bless the next Twitter King of Patriots Nation, but like every single time there's one, they're the worst guy ever. So, there's nothing is more douchey than them, and I'm not like that.
That's always been
the
Patriots media. Just me. Like if we didn't, like my mother would constantly be just sending me videos of that horrible human. I think
Spike
they
King?
Fired him. Huh?
Viking?
No. Sully or?
Oh, Fitzy.
Fitzy.
Oh, he's my God.
And my mom would be sending him, like, I like him. And he's a representation of a Patriots fan.
I think he does the characters the worst. I remember when he used to do, like trivia before Red Sox games.
Anyone that knows me knows I'm a mama's boy. I love my mother. But, like, that's the only time in my life I wanted to strangle that woman.
Emancipate yourself.
Like, she would be like, look how funny Fitzy is. I hate
that
guy.
He has an accent. That's not even his real name. You know, there's so many fucking, just be your real name. No one cares if you're Irish or not.
Fucking loser.
He wrote,
I hate him.
He does
my favorite thing
shit.
Was, like, I mean, how many times do we drive into the game? He's standing alone under the bridge.
Wearing right before he has to go in and work. Hey, I got 2 JetBlue tickets to Orlando. Can you name a New England Patriots color? Fucking what? I just can't. I just don't need it. I don't need super fans. Like, I don't need to fucking. Maybe I'm a super fan. I don't know. Fitzy is like our fireman Ed, but he doesn't like go in the stands. Like, we have a couple fireman Eds, but they're not like loudmouths. They just, you know, that big fat guy that like paints his entire body silver and goes to every single game. He's one of them. And then there's the guy that paints his biceps who's like, been doing that since 1998 and is fucking was jacked until about 2017, and now he's obviously like 60 and his biceps are deflating. You know, like in a on Looney Tunes, like when you like they deflate your biceps and they start to go upside down, like underneath. That's like kind of what he looks like now.
I bet
people in the pod are listening and they're dying at that fucking comment, by the way.
I feel like
they know who
I'm
talking
like,
about.
I feel like you're leveling out now, and it's like a blessing and a curse because. Like, if there was just a camera on you for the first, like, just a camera focused on you for the first, like, couple weeks this year. Because, like, the last few years, you've been, like, kind of submitted. You're, like, just looking for. We had Mac Jones. Like, we knew deep down nothing really was going to happen. We'd root for him. But then, like, this year.
Vince, I might stop you there. Last year, I snapped quite a few times at Gerard.
It was nothing. Like the first few weeks of this year, I mean, you had an entire section not watching the game because you became unglued.
I was unglued at that. But last year I came, I yelled a lot and I swore at Gerard Mayo, specifically at the end of the year. I had had enough. You know, Drake was showing promise. Van Pelt was a moron. The defense was terrible. They couldn't do anything, and Gerard would coach nobody. And I snapped every single game for, like, 4 games in a row. And the final game that I was there, I just lost it and was screaming. But, right, the beginning of this year, I had high hopes. And, like, they came in and lost to the Raiders, which I was like, okay, bad game. You know, they're playing a team they don't know, and their new fucking coaching staff. So I was okay. You know, I didn't like it. I was still mad. But then when they lost to the Steelers, the way they lost to the Steelers with 5 turnovers, I came unglued. And appropriate, I thought. And then I don't even remember when I yelled at Drake May, but then I fucking turned his ass around. Now he's like an MVP candidate. If he heard me from the 204, because I told him when to throw the ball.
Game one was the Raiders. I mean,
and then the Steelers.
You like I did not even recognize you like in the stands. It was wild. I was not mad about the game because I was a little concerned. I was like, I don't even know this person. You just lost it.
I had such high hopes coming into the season. And now, look, I'm being rewarded. I was correct. They could be fucking... I mean, they could be undefeated right now, if we're being honest. Like, okay, you lose to the Raiders. You know, you had a bad game. Everyone's entitled to a bad game. But the Steelers, they would never play like that again. They would beat the Steelers 10 out of 10 times right now
and
in a row.
Stupid, like, seeing Rodgers, like, that hurt.
He was terrible that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
No, you don't want to see him. I'm glad he's coming back to Earth because, like, yeah. Fuck that guy.
I mean, what he is Drake May had a goal line interception. They had a goal line fumble and fucking... What, three other fumbles and another interception or something? They had five turnovers. The craziest game ever. Impossible to win, and they lost by like seven, whatever it was at the time. I mean, that's never going to happen again. If they play the Steelers in the playoffs, they'll beat them by 30. That with Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar on the back end.
I mean, Vrabel is he shaped him up a little bit. I mean, you just see less mistakes, but Josh is really in his bag.
He's in his bag. I mean, do you see him cooking? They were fucking running. They were running zone reads off the wide nine fucking edge this week. They couldn't block Myles Garrett or whoever was playing the other edge. And instead of running like zone outside and getting stuffed for -3 yards, they were fucking reading him and pitching the ball like fucking college and running for 40 yards on a bat. That was the number one defense in the league. Giving up, I think, averaging 190 yards passing a game. Drake May had 290. They outgained like the average passing and rushing. And this was like all Trevion Henderson, basically. Drake May's fucking throwing to wide open guys. I mean, that throw to Booty again. I mean, how many times are you going to... You can't hand the ball off better than
we
than
have to get
May
into
and Booty
at some
is doing.
Point because he might be a problem.
That
Booty,
he's the guy. He might be WR1 right now.
Yeah, he is a problem.
Make sure he doesn't gamble on any games because we fucking now the mafia is involved. Chauncey Billups is fucking running picks for fucking John Gotti Jr. Who knows what's going on these days? Yeah. It's too dangerous out in these streets.
I don't want to get to Booty yet, but I want to just say like. Mac Jones made the playoffs and kind of the Pro Bowl in his rookie year, correct?
In his rookie year, he made, he got.
Yeah. Whatever. And then, dude, the stats are so clear on like, once the NFL gets tape on you, like, you can't celebrate anything until the sophomore slump is passed. Our boy is.
Such thing.
Our boy is being mentioned in MVP talks. I'm not. He, I don't
mentioning. People, if it's up to me, he's leading it. Who's above him right now?
Some people. Some Mahomes. People are. Some people
is
are.
He though.
Some I people always.
Are, some people
I
are saying
that.
Some people are arguing that he is. I'm not. I'm not going to say that.
Well, stats it's different are if you, like if you were to give identical. The MVP out now. If you were to give the MVP out now, it would have to be between like Daniel Jones.
Okay, Daniel Jones.
Drake May and Mahomes. But if you were to like
Jonathan Taylor.
And Jonathan Taylor's it should be Jonathan Taylor realistically, but they would never give it to a running back. But if you were to like predict the odds, which I keep seeing people be like, oh, why is Mahomes a favorite? It's because it's the odds to win it. Like Mahomes is probably going to have like the best, like down the stretch
and they're, of the they're, season. They're like the Chiefs are not the Chiefs that we're used to. And like,
they might be better this year than last year.
I don't know. I feel like he's willed them to some wins. Like,
but their offense is loaded this year.
Stacked, but like they don't score a lot. I mean, Mahomes is the defense isn't that great. I mean, they've lost.
Defense is better this year too, I think. No?
I don't know. I watched last game. He threw two interceptions like in an instant. And then
One was off Kelsey's stupid
face. He's always been like that though. Like he'll like. It's like a fourth quarter drive, though. That guy is just like,
and Rashee Rice nails. Is better than he's like the best receiver in the league.
You said that before, and I hate that comment. It's fine; he's good, but he's not that great. And fucking,
he's
Kelsey
averaging
is,
the most fantasy points per game since he's been back. Like, the guy games. Is
Kelsey's also a dead body liability. He can barely Kelsey's run.
Washed. Yeah, I mean, he's not.
I haven't watched any.
He looks like Algie Crumpler.
Has he not been playing any better? Is he still just like...
It's,
he's mildly fine.
There's nobody,
fine.
Like, I could tackle Kelsey in the open field right now. He has zero moves. Like, he just catches it and has to run straight. Like, he can't...
His hips don't... Remember he used to have, like, you know, shimmies? Like, yeah, he used to run kind of like Hernandez. He could go side to side. And he was like bigger. He was like a bigger Hernandez. Wasn't as shifty, but played like him. He can't go side to side anymore. He's just like big giant body that like. Goes forward. I don't know.
It's like me and pickup hoops. Like I can only go straight now. Like if I start going sideways, things go downhill. Like I have to just try to muscle into you, and it's all falling apart.
Bodies just give out. I leaned over my office chair backwards today. They are like leaning like with my knees on the seat and my chest over the back of it. And I, you know, I felt comfortable for like 20 minutes. While I was typing like that, and then I couldn't get back up. My back just was like, nope. This is where you live now.
So how old is Kelsey?
Around my age, 37 or 8, something like that. I'm 39, but I don't know. He is 36. I was off.
36. So he's 36, and he's been taking, like, the craziest hits ever for his whole life. I'm 37. Haven't played contact sports since high school. I just got a shot in my knee because my ACL is hanging on by a thread, and it gives out 3 times a week bending over to pick up my kid's discarded milk bottle.
I need to see. How'd you tear the ACL?
Work.
You're going to have a Brady fucking ACL injury. Play through pain. I love it. Fucking go through the playoffs like Logan Mankins.
I try to be a hero and jump a fence, like just like a normal fence that you would jump when you were a school child, like those wire fences. Yeah. I try to be, like do the cool, like put your one arm on it and throw yourself
your legs over.
Yeah, and then like I landed, and then like I realized I was like I had all my gear on and stuff. It was like way heavier than I am. And I'm already kind of heavier than I should be. And my knee just buckled. And then like, I got up. The ACL is a weird one. Cause it like, doesn't really hurt like you think it would. And then you go in, and then, the doctor's just like, the fuck are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking? You cannot do like you, shouldn't have tried that.
I say Tom Brady was going to play the next game. You tell me I can't come out there and work. I've got my service weapon right here. I can do anything.
I had a basketball game like 2 weeks ago. I still play in this league with all like kids in their mid-20s. And at this point now, I get guarded by the worst guy on the other team every time. Know, like, I'm just washed. And
rolling backwards.
So we're like losing, and I'm like, I get frustrated. I'm like, well, I can score on this kid if I really want to. So it's like second half, I take the ball, I drive on him, I give him a little shoulder and lay it in. I'm like, I could do that whenever I wanted. And then like immediately jogging back down the court, my foot hurt. Like it was just in pain. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm done doing that ever again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying.
I got a funny story about how insane my brain is. So like, as the inner circle knows, I've been on a little sober streak. Had a little blip in the road, but sober. So the other day, or like a month ago, some young 17-year-old
punk,
but like we're genetically not the same. Anyway,
yeah, just text me what you want to say.
He's 17 years old, and I start chasing him, and like it was like a Chihuahua following a Ferrari. It was like
just let
so bad.
You can do whatever you want, son.
Yeah. So fast forward like a month or whatever, and I'm going through this sober period, and this group of people take off on me, and I run them the fuck down. And I'm like sitting there looking at the other officers like, you see sober Vince's speed. You see it. You see it. And then I just like, Then it came to me. I was like, oh, they were 14-year-old girls.
They dropped their pom-poms back there.
Yeah. I mean, they did shoplift, but I caught them. But then
we're attacking shoplifters, Vince?
The fact that I was so proud of running down like
anyone?
Anybody. It was a real tough moment for me.
No, I disagree. I feel like you should, anytime you can take a win against they're athletically better than you are. I mean, given the age difference, right now. I mean, they're in high school sports playing volleyball, track and field. They're moving their bodies in ways that ours don't work anymore. Yeah. I remember the first time I beat my dad in sports. I played him one-on-one basketball, and I was probably 14. He was like,
and if you know Big Frank, if you know Big Frank, you know he can handle the rock.
he could. I mean, to see like the will in his eyes, where he couldn't get past me anymore, and I was just crushing him. And like, he's never a good basketball player, but like, he could just be bigger than me for years.
He had that AI crossover for a little bit, though.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wore the big fucking baggy shorts. No, and I just cooking his ass for like, we're just playing one on one. He can't even walk. He can't breathe. He was probably 30 pounds overweight. And I was just burying shots, layups. And he couldn't, like, I just kept blocking his shot. Blocking your dad's shot before he can even get like his hands above his head is probably one of the more humiliating things you can do to your dad. Like, when he lifts the ball just above his head and you slap it back down before he even get a shot off, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you can't come back from that. Like, you're almost not getting invited to Thanksgiving that year. And I was doing it for 45 minutes straight.
My dad's 75. I still don't think I'd take him in basketball.
He's a hooper?
He's a real problem.
He's a hooper in the fucking get it to him in the key. He'll do a Will Chamberlain.
He's a Celtics diehard. He's big on fundamentals.
I knew it. Wears short shorts. Yeah. There's just something about the way that they play. Some of the way that they play where they pass like that. That's the way the game should be played.
Yeah.
None of this fancy stuff.
When I peaked is when I learned how to do like post, like old man post moves. And I was just dominating these kids with like up and unders and like little turnarounds. Like, it was like athletic
using your pivot
gone,
foot, but using your pivot foot that they don't even know exists. They're Euro stepping and you're doing classic Wabright school pivot foot.
That's 1,000%
real inside fucking comment. That was my elementary school basketball team where we played only little elementary schools from Lynn and dominated because we were Hoosiers. Basically, we lost Vince.
It really was. It was 8 win schools and us. It was not exactly another school.
That. It was what it was. We were 5 white kids lining up against all, minority schools, 8 of them. And we didn't lose. We lost to one team, Connery. If you guys are out there, I still want blood. That was the only school we lost to in Lynn. We would have been, I don't even know if we were playing in any league. We were just playing each other for nothing.
I remember there was one court you played at where like the gym was, it was like the first time you had like a road game and the gym was packed. You're in 5th grade. They're like the whole side, like the whole thing is like surrounded and the 3-point lines like crossed over each other. Yeah. So like, it was almost like the free throw line. It was only like 2 free throw lines and they would like press and you were just like, yeah, it was the first time.
You played in like the basement of churches and schools and every gym was, it was like the old Boston Garden where like the court doesn't actually fit in the state and like where you're supposed to be playing. So they just altered the fucking, the dimensions of the court that you're supposed to be playing on. They're like, yeah, the 3-point line is also the foul line of the other team. You know what I mean? So it was, it was always like that. I mean, it's to be expected. The Wabright school, all class. I can't believe we lost Vince. Well, he'll come back, I'm sure, shortly. So we should discuss how good Drake May is playing because I'm all in on this guy being just a stud. I'm not taking a backward step. I refuse to do it. I'm all the fuck in. Like, I'm expecting a deep playoff run now. And I know I'm going to get my heart broken. I know that the schedule has been weak and easy. I know that. But the way that they're out playing these bums, beating by 20 and 30 points, is exactly how good teams beat bad teams.
Also, the league isn't that great this year.
I couldn't tell you who the best team in the league is. I mean,
the Colts are, but like, no, but I'm not that worried about the Colts.
I haven't watched a single second of the Colts, but I could tell you right now that the Patriots could roll into Indy and just beat them on sure will. Just Mike Vrabel heart because of fucking you. The Indianapolis Colts are just, they're a puppy dog that the Patriots play with. They're like, they show up and we just pet them on the head and then just brush them aside. It doesn't matter how good they are. We have thrown it back to 2001 to 2005, 2 good quarterbacks, top tier AFC teams, Patriots, Broncos, Colts, same teams as always, getting ready to meet Chargers. And it's just, they'll come in here, it'll be cold, and beat the shit out of them, or we'll go to that dome and beat the shit out of them there. It doesn't matter. It's literally little giants. It's like, we play here, we take the ball, we run down your throat, we give you the ball, we take it from you and run it down your throat. That's just the way the Patriots play the Colts.
Rabel's like anybody, anytime, anywhere is like my favorite like saying of all time. I love that.
When they beat the Buffalo Bills, it was one of the hardest lines I've ever heard a coach say. Is you know how they do like the after the in the locker room speeches, and he was about to give out the game balls, and he's like, you know, we always talk about getting better, we're gonna get better each week, and they were in the way. They were in the way. I loved it. I love when he said that. And they were in the way.
I wouldn't care. I didn't get that excited about the Bills win because like I was waiting for the letdown, and they just haven't done it.
Oh, I mean, it's so hard not to get it. I was just explaining to Tyler, like, I understand they're playing a weak schedule, but they're beating the shit out of these teams that, like, they should be beating the shit out of. Like, the Titans, like, Cleveland has a great defense. That game probably should have been closer than it was, but their quarterback stunk. They're making plays all over the field. They haven't given up. There's some record they have from, like, 1920. They're, like, the first team since, like, the mid-50s to not give up 50 yards to a running back.
That's eight
games through a season or something like that. And, you can't run on this defense. It's insane. It's like Milton Williams, Barmore, and then the two guys crashing the edge. And then, it's just, I don't know why it's just fucking not working. I mean, they're defending the run. The pass, isn't much easier to go up against us with Davis and fucking – the only fear I have
Gonzalez. Did you see Gonzalez talking shit this week?
No, I didn't.
He shut down Judy, and then, like, you never see Gonzalez saying anything. Like, he never talks to anyone. He just, like – and he was talking shit to Judy after a play, and I was like, oh, God, are they good.
You know, and then the only problem I have now is, like, you just traded Duggar. Keon White, I didn't have much of a problem with them trading him. I mean, at best, he's going to be a decent interior rusher. He's never going to be a good edge rusher. He just doesn't have a second move whatsoever. He can bull rush preseason tackles and tackles in the ACC, but he can't do it in the pros. And he just doesn't have a second move. So he's the only guy in the league that doesn't have a pass rush win. I read that today. He's played, five games, has zero pass rush wins, which is insane.
We didn't but we just got that safety back, right? We signed him. We needed depth there.
That's what I mean. That was my issue, is like, now you've got a really good team, but like, you go, if Woodson gets hurt or Hawkins gets hurt, like, he's already been hurt, now you're down to fucking playing the safety that runs the fucking, he's the gunner. Like, you're playing him next. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm actually okay with, I didn't mind getting rid of Duggar. He just didn't fit in the system.
I don't know why people say that. Like, he could easily, he would fit Craig Woodson's spot. The reason he couldn't play is he was playing Hawkins' free safety spot, and he can't run anymore.
But they don't play that. They play just two, like, they just play quarters all the time.
But they just play two safeties, play the same position. They bring Woodson down, and Hawkins plays deep all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely don't know the X's and O's enough to understand why we go from getting Duggar jerseys to like him.
I do have a Duggar jersey that now is not.
And then trading him. Like, I just don't. I don't, because I never played.
He was captain last year. I mean, he was captain. Crazy. Got a big deal. And then now he's traded midway through the next year.
And then I see, and then I'm like, we just traded Duggar for what?
Literally not. They paid. They literally paid Pittsburgh to take him.
We're paying his salary.
Paying his salary, got a sixth round draft pick back, just so we don't have to pay Duggar for two more years. That's literally how.
Hawkins is playing incredible.
He's playing his ass off. Playing great.
Which is, you have this, guy in the locker room who is like, you know, he's getting paid all the money. He's like supposed to, like, where's his minutes gonna fit? They're like, the coaches are probably weird with him because they're like, you're kind of still like our guy, but you're not the guy anymore. So it's like, hey, cut bait. Like, we just have to move on. Like, you're good. He's probably going to be good somewhere else, but like, he just wasn't good with us, and it's fine. I don't know.
He's young and he's athletic. I just thought it was smart to keep him around for, But it is smart to get out of the contract, but it just made sense to me that you'd keep him for depth, because now you need depth at safety and edge. I mean, you have guys in the practice squad, but who the fuck knows what you got there? To me, you just made two moves, and I looked at the 2026 free agent class. There's nobody there. There's nothing. I mean, if you want to make a splash, because they have the most cap room next year in the league, there's nobody to spend it on. Like, to me, right now, you spend a draft pick on some star and get him signed up for the next 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, Kayvon Thibodeau from the Giants.
There's always somebody.
You know, somebody's always going to get cut, and somebody's going to get released late in the year or whatever, or want to get traded after the season. But if you look at it now and project, like, what they have now, you know, there's no guarantee next year you're going to be 6-2 either. You're going to be playing a first or a second place schedule. It's going to be a lot more difficult. So you can make a run now.
Our schedule is not helping my brain stay calm and reasonable. Because, like, I'm just like, now I'm like, to have me thinking, like, looking around the league, I'm like, I mean, I think we're definitely going to be in the playoffs. And now, and then, like, I'm having, like, just ridiculous thoughts.
Should be having, though. They went into Buffalo and won, okay? There's not going to be a harder game than that.
But it's the NFL. Like, there's always games like that. Like,
Atmospheres, I'm talking. But there's not a tougher atmosphere to play than a Buffalo primetime game. I'm getting that.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, if you're playing a playoff game at the LA Chargers, do you think if you have to go and play the LA Chargers in LA?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The playoffs is going to be tougher than playing Sunday Night Football in Buffalo in fucking October. It's not.
No. That whole
Shitty Buffalo team, though. They're getting better. They're missing a bunch of guys. Like, Buffalo was off. I feel like they're gearing back up again. I feel like they're revving up.
And that's how the Chiefs have been for years. Like, been very, like, off in the beginning of the season. And the Patriots, even
he did it too.
A couple years, like, there were some weird starts, and then
no doubt. I mean, you're so good, you sleepwalk through the first half of the year.
Yeah,
a lot.
And you're playing late into the season. You're playing in Super Bowls, so your sluggish starts. Like, I don't know. KP's been calling Buffalo dead for the last 2 years.
I mean, there's a serious possibility that the Patriots win the division and are one of the worst teams in the playoffs. You know what I mean? I mean, they could literally win the division, have a home playoff game. I mean, there's a realistic scenario where they're the number one seed and they're, like, one of the worst teams in the playoffs.
Well, they have to – this is a big 2 weeks coming up, because you get the Falcons, who are, like, kind of awful, but then can also be really good some games. Like, they're a weird team.
Buffalo.
They have a lot of, like, talent. And then they have the Bucs after that, who are, like, a little overrated, but, like, they're pretty banged up right now, but they're still, like, decent.
Yeah, Mike Evans, like, is he out for the year? He's definitely out for the Patriots game.
Yeah, he broke his, like, collarbone. And he got a concussion.
Life, actually.
Yeah. He's bad. And Buka, that guy is, like, always hurt. Bucky Irving's hurt for them. Like, they have a bunch of guys down. So
Baker, there's something about him that I like.
Can't put my finger on it.
Something about a traditional pocket passer, gunslinger.
So, like, if the Bills were ever to beat Kansas City this weekend, which is a great game, and the Pats somehow lose to the Falcons, all of a sudden, like, we couldn't be further from winning the division.
Yeah, correct.
I didn't know.
Like, it's, yes, like that fragile.
I mean, I've like I said, I've crossed over into the shadow realm.
I'm fighting for the one seed. I'm already in one seed.
Like, I've crossed over to the shadow realm where I'm like, the Falcons, we're going to fucking crush them.
I'm not worried about the Falcons. Forget the Falcons. You know what, the way it was, like, in October when Brady was playing, you're like, just don't get hurt. Like, you'd be playing, like, any random team in October and be like, okay, we're going to beat this team by 30. Let's just make sure nobody gets hurt in this game because it's September. We need to win the Super Bowl. That's how I feel right at this moment.
But reasonably, like, all I wanted from this year, because, like, I was
down.
I think I was the lowest of the group. I think I had them at, like, 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, especially, that's kind of where I was, too.
I was all over you, boy, saying 11 was on the table.
Yeah, we were all higher, but then the end of, like, right before the season, there were some weird, those weird cuts and trades and...
We're getting, like, Peppers. I think when we both went, I think we went down 3-4 wins when they traded Peppers. We're like, that's this team's a 6-win team now.
Yeah.
I have to say something. After the Raiders game, I mentioned, do you think Rabel might be tanking for a draft pick?
Yeah.
That was said. Just look to whoever was next to you. There's, like, there's no way that we're not going for the number one pick here.
But my number one thing was all that I just, if the season proves that Drake's the guy, I don't care if we win 6 games. And I think we are rock solid. Drake's the guy.
Not only is he the guy, Josh McDaniels is the guy. Sup, Lifshatz. And, I mean, it's filled
Will
with
Campbell.
Guys. Booty's becoming a guy. Will Campbell's a guy. I'll tell you what, one thing I don't like right now, though. How about they had to fucking sit Barmore for the first quarter last week? And for some disciplinary reasons. That's like the second time in 2 years he's acted up.
Though. Just keeping him in line.
That's the second time in 2 years he's been acting up.
But that's the Patriots still doing Patriots shit. Like,
yeah, but like, what are you doing? You're acting up. We got one of the best D-lines in the world here. You're gonna fucking
act
up.
We've always needed a few bad boys on the team.
Yeah, you want to him. He's not a bad boy, but sometimes he wants to act like one. It's just like he's a goofy. I was just cut it out. Be a defensive lineman. Milton Williams got to get in his head and say, listen, we're here to win.
Yeah. I also need to apologize to, I was thinking about this the other day.
Mojo?
I think I owe Giselle an apology.
Why? For absolutely fucking nothing.
Oh, I mean, I've been damning this whore for a long time. But, like, the last few weeks, I've been having these weird thoughts. Like, I'm like, dude, this guy might be better than Brady. So,
what?
I know. Like, I'm just having these weird thoughts because I'm comparing all these stats. And I'm like.
Stats? Are you talking about Drake? I mean, I thought you were talking about the jiu-jitsu guy for a second.
No. I'm talking about Drake and how high I am on him right now. And he's like a new hot piece of ass, like the jiu-jitsu guy. But
he's
like
an average jiu-jitsu man.
But hey, I mean, if you would have asked me a year ago, like, I wouldn't have been having these impure thoughts. Like, Tom's the goat. He's my, like,
I've been sketching statue ideas. He doesn't have much of an iconic pose yet, but it's coming.
I'll never look at another man, I used to say. But I'm starting to have these
I'll
feelings.
Never love again. Remember that sad
weird
song from fucking the end of the Lady Gaga version of A Star Is Born? That's what I think about. And then I think about how I'm about to break that vow. Because I love Drake May right now. I mean, he's just a good Christian man, married his high school sweetheart, throwing touchdowns, fucking throwing bombs.
He threw a 50-yard, I think it was the booty one. He threw that, like, if you watch him, like, kind of step up in the pocket, it was like how I would, like, try to, like, finesse a ball in the backyard, like, in the pool. Like, just, he just kind of, like, casually, just kind of,
like, throwing the vortex.
Yeah, he didn't even, like, fully – he didn't, like, fire it. It was just kind of like a casual – and then it just comes off his hand so fast and so perfect every time.
If I was Boots,
that excitement
if I was,
you
if
feel.
I was Boots,
If I was Booty, I would have been so fucking pissed, though, because, like, the announcers, everybody was just like, look at that pass. It still was a fucking unbelievable catch.
And, right over and the shoulder. Fucking looked like Randy Moss.
But he has, like, he's had, like, four of these catches this year where it's, like, completely full extension, like, balls on your fingertips, and you're sprinting and you're diving. Yeah. That ball comes out 100 out of 100 times if you watch the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's, like, full extension. Like, they land, and that ball just flies out of their, like, off their body. And he pulled them all.
Actually him. Not for nothing, but 2 sixth-round wide receiver draft picks by the much maligned Bill Belichick are becoming stars right before your eyes. And Mojo, his third-round pick.
Don't get me started on Mojo.
Mojo, he's on Jersey watch. Mojo is on Jersey watch. He just got a 3-year deal.
The only reason I don't want him on Jersey Watch is because the last person on Jersey Watch was Duggar.
He's on Jersey. I have his jersey. I might be one of those guys. I might be Duct Tape Guy. I might have to go to Duct Tape Guy, change the number and change the name.
No, I think you're a May. You're gonna have a May jersey on very soon.
I have a May jersey. I have a May Throwby. May was on Jersey Watch early last year, and I made the move late. When I was drunk after a win,
Do you have the red?
I have the red.
You, as you know, I've been staunchly against jerseys for years now.
That's only when you're in your depression, but you're coming out of it. Now you're a jersey guy.
I'm coming out of it, but like, I hate to break away from Patriots talk, but like, my fucking goddamn therapist was like, "Yeah, you seem like really good the last, like, a lot better the last few weeks." I'm like,
"He says, you know, the one thing that can help." A jersey.
Have you? She's from Brockton. I was like, have you been watching the fucking Patriots? Yeah, I'm obviously better.
Miss.
You dumb bitch.
Have you watched Drake May sling the rock?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm gonna feel better than Mac Jones.
Treatment, so don't take any credit for this. It's just Drake.
The SSRIs are doing nothing. It's Drake May's deep ball that's saving me.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah,
there's not enough Klonopin in the world that could give me the fucking the great mindset of a booty 50-yard catch.
Dude, but the group chat during the games is fucking electric lately. It's just like it's like gasps and like
gifts,
weird sex texts. Like, oh,
people always throw in a "What the fuck was that?" Like, any this guy sucks. He stinks. Get off my team.
Dude, I don't understand KP because I got jammed up where I had to step away for a minute last game.
Jammed up? You're getting a little fucking jammed up.
And all of a sudden I see a text pop up on my phone. It's just like, I hate this team. And then I come back, I'm like, what I miss? And you're like, I have no fucking idea what he's talking about. They're dominant.
It's unbelievable because like
a toss sweep for 2 yards.
Yeah.
He makes you like viscerally angry when you see his text and you're like, I'm probably overreacting, and then someone else will be like, "Fuck you, KP." Just lays into it. You're like, all right, good. That's what I thought. They were up by like 35. They look the best they ever. The defense is firing. They haven't allowed like a point in 52 minutes of gameplay. And the offense is absolutely cooking.
He's an SEC.
He fumbled the ball, got it back.
He's just like, a fucking college football stan. It's the same thing. It's like they're paying the LSU coach, Brian Kelly, $60 million to leave. And to everyone down there, that makes a ton of sense. To me, I'm like, fuck it. Let him coach. I'm not paying you $60 million to leave. Like, in my brain, my fucked up brain, I'm like, fuck off. Who cares? Like, we'll win 8 games or 9 games next year. Maybe we won't be national champions. But whatever.
And you'll like give it like 4 years, 5 years, you'll probably win a national championship. Like,
in that time frame. I mean, he's still a good coach. He took fucking Cincinnati to like a ton of bowls, took Notre Dame to like the national championship. He's gonna get LSU somewhere. Like, just
the only thing is it started off because he went down there and tried to adopt, like,
try to be a Bayou boy.
Yeah.
When he did the accent in his opening, like, on the basketball court introduction, it was over.
Felt weird.
I get it. I mean, he's notoriously the biggest dickhead in sports, so I don't care. I'm just saying, they want to change coaches every week, and they want quarterbacks fucking killed every week. So I can't listen to a college football fan because they don't make sense when they're talking professionals.
No, they lose. They get lost in the SEC emotions.
It's exactly what it is. Like, you know, I take a look at college football, but I don't. I'm not addicted to it. I'm just too much of a New Englander to care about. It's fun to watch. Like, I love watching a national championship game, but these people fucking die.
But it's also dumb now because it's like,
it's not even real college anymore.
It's just a lower level of pro football now. So it's not even.
Yeah. And then it was always for years and years, you know, for the first 80% of college football, it was, you know, everybody in Alabama was from Alabama. Or there'd be like two kids from Texas. Now it's national recruiting. Fucking every player's from Florida. It doesn't even matter what team you are. Like, you could be Miami of Ohio, and everyone's from Miami.
Talks about Saban like he's a god, and they compare him to Belichick. But the fucking guy, they started making it legal to pay everybody, and he retired.
It was only good when he could pay everyone the money.
Yeah. Exactly. When he can give you a car dealership, it works out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Bear Bryant's son was the owner of Tuscaloosa National Bank, and I wonder how that money was getting funneled to all their players. Yeah. It was like, you see, I don't know. I think the Patriots are like, I think they're good. I just don't know. I don't think the NFL is that good, though, right now. I don't see many teams in the NFL. Like,
you've been
in the AFC, right?
You've been
like,
on this train for a long time, though, and the NFL is not as good as it used to be.
It will never go back. Like, no one's ever. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube, as they say. But, like, it all goes back to, like, training camp and the amount of times you can practice with pads and the amount of, you know, safety, basically, regulations in place. Like, you're never going to be able to give them, they're never going to give more practices to, you know, more hitting practices to these players. So it's never going to get better than it is now.
But like, this is the time of the season where across the league, it's starting to look a little more cleaned up, where back like 10 years ago, after like 2-3 weeks, then you stop seeing these stupid mistakes. It just like extended that like break-in period, which is,
I also think,
it's really not that big a deal because they added more games and whatever. It's everybody's on the same page.
Flacco is probably what? He's probably like the 15th or 16th best quarterback in the league right now.
That's generous. I think he's hurt too.
Maybe 20th. He's definitely in the top 20.
I give him top 20, even at age 48, whatever he is.
And that's Flacco. There's probably other veterans that have, like, retired that would be, like, probably on his level still. But teams...
You can't tell me
Dan Marino could still come back.
You can't tell me Tom Brady could come back and throw 35 touchdowns right now.
I think Phil Rivers would still be able to play.
Drew Brees, maybe.
Brady was like, hey, Rob... Mr. Kraft, I want to come. I like this team. I want to come back. We would all be like, all right. Yeah.
Hey, take a fucking seat. I would have to. I'd have to.
Why don't you learn something for a little?
Take that 12 out of the rafters. We got shit to do.
Yeah.
Like, Rodgers is still like a top 15 quarterback.
Okay, maybe.
And it's not even because he's that good. It's like, you have to look at these teams. Everyone in the league just wants to start like a rookie. And they're like, hey, if you don't have the guy, like, we're all trying to find the guy who's going to win the Super Bowl. We'll just roll out a rookie. And then as soon as he stinks, we'll just roll out the next rookie. He'll stink.
Anthony Richardson's like basically already out of the league. He's fucking, I could have told you that guy was a bust. I mean, his sophomore year of high school. I was like, somebody's going to draft this guy, and he's going to be the worst quarterback in the NFL, and everyone's going to swear that he's going to be fucking the greatest. He's so bad.
Could you imagine being a Browns fan, though? I mean, it's like 20 years of getting the next guy.
They had a guy. And they did.
And they had a fucking guy and gave him away. They got him and they fucked it up.
They had the guy. Baker Mayfield's a fucking stud.
It's not like he didn't do anything, too. He got him into the playoffs.
I have to go back and, like, remind myself how that Browns like unravels? Like, how did that unravel like that? How did Baker Mayfield? Didn't they have Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry at the time too? Like,
were you like, I was always a Baker guy. They were beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead, and there was like a weird penalty at the end of the game. They're up by 10 at one point, and there was a weird penalty at the game, and then they ended up losing. That was in the divisional round. They won the wild card round, and then they were in the beating the Chiefs in the divisional round.
Right.
Baker was like a few, like 5 minutes away from making the conference finals, and then they were like, "All right, let's get rid of him."
Did he get hurt? How did that unravel like that?
He was playing with a broken collarbone, which is fucking the most Baker
thing on ever. The fucking on par Baker Mayfield level. I might get a Baker Mayfield man. Patriots jersey.
Oh, dude, I wanted Mayfield so bad.
I know.
Which, like, let's not forget that the Pats went 10-7 with Mac Jones, then 8-9, and then Belichick wanted to trade Mac Jones, and he got denied.
For Baker. We would have had Baker and Belichick.
We're
going to
bring
Belichick
in Baker
right
for about. They're going to pay Baker like $800,000 to be the quarterback. Yeah. And now he's like the MVP of the league.
Drake May would be the quarterback of Tampa. I don't know. I like where we're at right now.
We got lucky because Drake May's awesome.
Yeah.
Although, I was a Jaden Daniels guy.
I think Baker's just he's just a gritty guy. He's just he's the gunslinger, but like he's not on the same level as Drake May.
No, he's got a fucking rocket arm, though. He reminds me so much of Brett Favre, but he's like ultra shit talk Brett Favre. It gives him life.
No,
it gives that man.
Favre was a problem shit talking too.
He was, yeah. I don't know.
And taking money from minorities, apparently.
Fucking Drake, snorting OxyContin.
Yeah, you just know that like Baker also is like such an awesome guy, and he knows that everyone like on his team loves him, and he would like do anything for them, and knows that they'll do it back. So he just has this like extra level of like yeah, everyone's with me on this. Like I'll do whatever I want because we're gonna die as a team, and if someone attacks me, like you're all getting fucked up.
Yeah, he's When speaking of awesome guys, I just wanted to mention this because I just saw it before I got on the pod. But Brad Marchand, did you see this today, just now?
No.
He left the Florida Panthers today. One of his good friends and like trainers is a coach of a U18 hockey team in Nova Scotia, and his daughter died of cancer. The coach's daughter. So Brad Marchand left his professional hockey team to coach the U18 team today. So he can go to like the guy's going to like, I don't know what he's doing, taking some time off or whatever, but he's coaching this youth team right now in Nova Scotia. I was just looking at videos of it just now.
It's all, that's the most like hockey guys are the fucking greatest because there's not even a single person, like, first of all, not anyone in like the league would ever like second guess it. Anyone in the organization, they're like, yeah, that's where you're gonna go coach the U18 boys. Like we'll see you in a few weeks, Marchy. Like
try that at fucking the SEC and see how KP reacts.
I don't give a fuck about girls.
Get him off the team.
I only like boys.
It's a different breed. The hockey boys are always be the best.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I figured I'd shout him out. Shout out Brad Marchand for being a legend.
Keith Yandel might be the funniest person who's ever existed.
Keith Yandel?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a North Shore boy, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just on the spitting chicklets, and he's been killing me.
Yeah, he's good shit.
Yandel is in Boston, but I don't know where he grew up. He grew up in.
He went to
Milton. He went. From Milton.
Tabor. So. He went to Tabor, right?
Milton High, Cushing.
Cushing Academy. Yeah, I scored my first prep school goal against Cushing Academy. Not a big deal.
A big deal.
I got into a fight with Ray Bork in the handshake line.
Dad?
The coach?
Raymond?
Raymond was coaching. He was like an assistant coach on Cushing. One of his like
city sons. Chris?
Chris. I cheap shotted the shit out of him, and Raymond didn't take. He didn't like it.
And then, you're gonna do that to the seven's son. His son was such a bad
and
baseball
then,
player.
Raymond took umbrage in the line.
wouldn't shake my hand, and I started barking at him, and then half my team tried to fight me.
Yeah.
Because I was...
Is that how our Captain X, Raymond?
I was disrespecting Mr. Bork, and I said, I don't give a fuck, you fucking...
Raymond Bork, listen, maybe I'm talking out of school here, but one of the greater North Shore drive-home drunk legends of in Saugus history. I mean, that guy used to shut down the Border Cafe and Kowloon, and would just be... That the Saugus police routinely had to drive him home in the 80s and 90s.
I drove him home to Andover from the Kowloon.
The guy likes to party.
He got Vince got about like he got to like Georgetown, and then pulled over. He goes, "You don't remember, do you?"
Put him in a hole like Tommy Shelby. Yeah. He's fucking.
Oh no, you know, I did. I did
you don't
have
remember
that,
the old the handshake line of 05, huh?
I forgot that. I had that conversation with him at the Hong Kong Lounge.
Slurring the
like,
whole time.
I was like 10 years ago. I cheap shotted your son. And you tried to fight me. I was 16 years old. And I had zero pubic hair. And he was like, yeah, I was drinking a lot back then.
You look pretty drunk right now, right?
Drinking a lot. I'm drinking a lot now, but I was drinking a lot then, too.
Man, Saugus in the 80s and mid to like the mid-90s was so... I mean, you can't even... It's the lifestyle was so weird. Like, to like so many Red Sox players and like all the Bruins lived in Saugus or like... Right
behind the ice cream. Right behind the ice cream.
And that those shitty condos. Fucking Wade Boggs drove home drunk. That place, I know you know what it looks like, but it's a condo that goes up a hill and it's got like the arm bar that comes down. And to the right there's like a fence, wooden fence that you can't drive through. Wade Boggs went around through the fence up to his house and crashed into his garage door. Like they just get all blackout drunk and just drive, do whatever they wanted.
You have to think about it during that time. That was like a nice little community. Like that was, it was a nice spot.
It's a great, I mean, no one was tattling. I'll tell you that. No one's going to tell shit.
Yeah.
There was an Italian community back then.
Yeah.
You see shit. Wade Boggs hitting 350. You think I'm going to call the cops?
And they all lived there. And like Don Cherry lived there.
Don Cherry. He's got some good photos on the internet of him coaching Saugus hockey at the Casabooski.
Oh man!
I know someone who did a lot of the Celtics would all rent there in like Avalon condos out in Waltham, and I had a buddy who like used to do the rentals, and it wasn't exactly the same thing. These guys got kicked out because they weren't taking their trash out; they were just throwing it over the back balcony of their.
It's like me and Colin. Well, basketball players too are like. Just like 18,
like 19 years old, and he was just throwing his trash into the backyard where it's like a communal backyard, and there's just piles of trash. They're like, you're not allowed to do this, you have to go.
The Smith family is complaining of fucking all your Wingstop rappers.
Pretty sure it's Jared Sullinger.
He was fat too,
he was awesome.
I just had it in my head, popped in my head, now I just forgot what it was. God damn it, what was it? Oh, nope, I fucking lost it. Moving on. We were talking about Wade Boggs and that. Yeah, oh, I was going to tell a story about the Boston Bruins at Kowloon. I was, I might have even told this story on the podcast before, but we went, so Kowloon has this boat in the inside of it, which is absurd, but there's a boat on the inside, and it's just like a dance floor slash like bandstand, and we were having like a 16 or 17 year old birthday party there for a girl. So we were all there, like me and a lot of my high school friends just hanging out. And this is just after the season, like it was probably springtime. And the season must have got just ended and the Bruins weren't very good that year. And, you know, they must have been having like their end of year party. So everyone, like, they were in the back room and I recognized like Ray Bork and I think that was like Sergei Samsonov and like fucking other guys that around that age. And then this guy comes wandering over. And starts hanging out with us, and we're like, "Who the fuck's this guy?" And slick back hair, can't understand him. Didn't know where he came from. Just thought he was like a friend of one of the girls from a different school. And he starts talking to my friend, and he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, are you drunk or something?" He's like, "No one can understand." He's speaking French. It was fucking Patrice Bergeron. My friend's like, "He's like, I play for the Bruins. I play for the Bruins." He goes, "Fuck you! You play for the Bruins? You're my age, dickhead." He's like, "It was literally like a 18 year old kid that was just a rookie for the Bruins." We were just like, "Why are you wandering over to our high school party, weirdo?" I don't know. I just wanted to tell that story because that happened. But
I also have some inside baseball on the transition period of the Kowloon. There is a plan in place. One of the ideas is to move that boat next to the dinosaur.
Ooh, how could they even do that? It's an interior boat.
Take it down, like, whatever. There's a couple ideas, because they're trying to, like... I mean, the Wongs are trying to just milk this thing as much as they can. They're going to make... But there's an idea about...
on top of the town hall.
You saw that video, that Instagram video? They want to either, like, try to keep the arch or keep the boat or, like, do all this. And one of the ideas is to move the boat next to the boat or some kind of version of the arch next to the dinosaur by Avalon.
Is there any more of, like, a depiction of what's going on in America than condos with the fake new cactus?
Yeah, it's awful.
Condos with the stupid orange dinosaur.
I think I said this.
Condos
it's literally
with
my,
the boats of Kowloon.
I just like, literally, it's my childhood has become a theme park. It's everything when I was growing up was like neon. Route 1 was all neon. Like we're a year and a half away from the Hockey Town condos. I'm not even like that's literally where we're at. Where every single thing that was a famous. I mean, certainly a Massachusetts famous restaurant, but for some, like Hilltop was a fucking national recognized restaurant. Kowloon now is, but it wasn't really then. But like, I mean, you got all, it was all neon lights, giant neon signs. I mean, even anything, like I just said, like fucking Hockey Town, which is just a hockey rink, has giant neon signs. And now it's just a Hilltop themed condo in a fucking, they're all Soto Sopas.
I think it's the one thing that can save Saugus is like a tribute to these places because
literally all that's left. I mean, it's condos, but like theme it that way.
Like you talk about poorly run towns.
Oh my god, they're letting I get you can't really make a company like stay in business, but like we don't have to keep up the signs and then like the world in 1985 the way it was, but we have condos behind them. Like it makes
they're trying to distract you from it turning into every other fucking shitty where there's just traffic and condos and people that are just paying rent and not living there for long.
Yeah, and what's infuriating is that they sell it to you as like, no, you don't understand, the orange dinosaur is still like, when we designed this, what we had in mind
was keeping the old
with the new.
Keeping the culture intact of the town. Route 1 is not the town. Route 1 is a sideshow. Route 1 was supposed to be like, it's just supposed to be for restaurants and going out and having fun. Like, those people aren't supposed to infiltrate my community. I just don't want to. I'm not going to get crazy here on the podcast, but if you live on Route 1, you don't live in Saugus and you don't belong near me. I don't care. Like, you don't belong near me or touching me or voting in my town elections.
Unless you're in one of the storied trailer parks, then
that's fine. If you're in a trailer park all day, you're invited.
That's what you're. If you live on Route 1, it should be a trailer park.
Yeah, exactly. Call me old fashioned, but if you're gonna live on Route 1, you should have propane feeding your trailer, where sometimes the hose will slip and you'll suffocate to death on carbon monoxide.
I knew it was over when they tore down the ferns. It was over.
When the ferns was up, it was fucking. I mean, that's a rough place, man. That was a rough go. I mean, watching the Hilltop go down was tough. Obviously, Kowloon going down, there's no going back. That's the end of the run.
It's over after
that's
that.
Literally like the Parthenon coming down. That's it. Yeah. It might as well be. it literally might as well be just the fall of an empire because there's nothing left.
And then everything will die, but Roller World will still be there.
You can't kill that place. Anything that's got mafia money filtering through it, where you can just say, yes, we had 1 million rollerbladers here today, it works out fine.
There's no mafia money going to that fucking place, I promise you. Yeah.
You
have no idea the interactions I've had with the owner.
I have no idea what that place looks like. I haven't gone in there since maybe fifth grade.
dude, every single night the owner's out there yelling, screaming racial slurs at his number one customers. Like, he's completely lost his mind.
You're going to come in here and then go to Taco Bell? It's Taco Bell, then skate. You're going to have a slice of za. I'll tell you what about Roller World, though. One of my favorite all-time things as a kid was going around the rink and then gliding my way into the bathroom on my rollerblades and then pulling my jean shorts down to pee.
That was a good feeling.
I just like the feeling of, like, going around the concrete ramps to going to take a piss. Once again, a Saugus only thing that no one else will get. But you went around the concrete ramps to go take a piss in your rollerblades.
Malcolm goes, staying on brand.
As always.
I just don't have, like, anything. I don't have any passion in my life for anything the way Tony has passion for Saugus. Like, there's nothing I'm willing to, like... I would just walk away.
I'm a nostalgia guy, okay? I love the way I grew up. I live 2 streets away from the house I grew up in. And
yeah, but it's just not the same place anymore.
You don't get it. I still feel like I can get it back. If you just let me fight.
No, you can't. You can't.
No. I mean, back then it was just a little slice of heaven. And I can give you a lot of reasons why that I can't say here on the pod, but.
Wait till the bleachers come down in a stack pool, and then it's just over.
Tough. Fuddruckers, we lost Fuddruckers. Like, that was bad too. I mean, this just. It's literally like Flint, Michigan. This is like a fucking, what's his name? This is a Michael Moore documentary, like, happening before our eyes. We're going to have rusty water soon.
Linfield was just like, all right, we got this. And
I know. They built a Soto Sopa.
Saugus just was like, all right, our town manager, let's make him the highest paid government employee in the state.
Yeah.
And the rest of the town will just go to shit.
Let me get in there. I'm going to fucking run for it. I'm going to say, make Saugus great again. And I'm just going to build a new Kowloon, a new Hilltop.
I don't know why Dominic's running in a different area. He should
run for shit. He's going to go run for Saugus fucking selectman. I don't know.
Oh, I fully believe Dominic is going to enter politics.
Oh, no, 100%. Dom, this is the most Dom thing ever. Dom is going to do everything it takes. Put a lot of money into it and get himself on the ballot and then do zero campaigning.
Yeah, and then write at the most important act up.
Not show up.
I sent $80,000 into this campaign. Dom, you didn't talk to one person.
They do 1 ounce of research into Dom, be like, this guy's unelectable. Like, we can't.
Oh, all I was thinking about was, like, the commercials that just trash their opponent, the black and white ones. And I was like, oh, I could make some money on this.
Maybe you've seen him at Club Cafe.
I don't know if you've heard his salty humor, but here's the clip. Oh, man. All right. What do you got for the game this week? We went long today. It was a fun pod.
Who are they playing?
I don't remember. I'm just kidding. Atlanta, with or without Michael Penis.
With Kirk Cousins, they beat them handedly because we're going to be like the D-line gets after you. The two big boys up the middle, Landry and Chisholm. Chisholm's been, like, pretty solid. Landry's
solid. I
call him
Chase on by his God-given name, but
whatever you want to call him.
You can call him Chisholm.
But they're both good. But if it's Penix, I think they have a little bit more of a chance. If Drake London doesn't play again, they're kind of done. But, like, they have guys. If they're healthy, they have a lot of – decent receivers. Penix is good, but with Kirk Cousins, it's a blow up.
I think it's just our game. It's another one solely on us.
Another one, like, bites the dust.
If we play good, we take care of business. Not much different than last week.
You guys gonna put any numbers to these games or what?
With Penix, I think it's like a down to a field goal at the end of a game. Like, we haven't really played a tight game in one. With Cousins, we win like 35-3.
I'm convinced Drake just puts up 30 burgers.
Numbies. This is the number one defense against the pass.
I don't know. I got like 35-17. I don't know. I'm riding too high, though. Like, I got recency.
We're close to the sun right now, boys. But guess what? I ain't going nowhere. I got Patriots 32-14. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You know who I'd like to see the Patriots add right now on a prove it deal? Maybe right after this game, maybe he doesn't even leave town. Kyle Pitts. Could Josh McDaniels make Kyle Pitts happen?
Nah, I'm good. That's not a Vrabel guy.
You don't think so? Okay, I was just wondering.
Can you kick an end out? No? All right, then what are we going to do? You're useless.
He's a shifty guy.
He's like 180-pound tight end. Like, he's just, I don't want him on my team.
You see him with the Gators?
I want Njoku is who I want. You see how big his stomach was? He looks like a little out of shape. He looks like a little chunky, but I'm like, I kind of like my tight end.
He scored a touchdown, right? That Fannin guy is going to be a beast.
He's that guy who's like you know those guys who, like, even when they're fat, they still have a six-pack?
Yeah.
Like, Njoku has a six-pack, but he's kind of chunky. That's who I want. I like him.
I'll never understand that. I have enough muscle in your stomach that it protrudes like a fucking old wrestler is like the craziest type of muscle. You know, to have a cut in your stomach like goes out like a beer belly it's insane to me. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it's like steroids and D-ball and whatever.
Whatever. I mean, if we're going to look good, we're going to look good. Anyway, follow me on Twitter, Brady Disciple, Malvin Go Pod, which is pretty much not working because KP runs it and he's jet-setting the world.
That's what I wanted to talk about. We started to talk about it, but we have to talk about it next week.
We discussed
the first time we saw boobs in the group chat. That was a great conversation.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that next week.
Save that teaser.
Next week.
Vince, we're still waiting for KP's answer, so he hasn't had his yet. And what else? Oh, patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast, discord.com, all the same stuff, /MalcolmGoPodcast. Join, enjoy, chat. Sorry for the last few weeks, boys. We're back.
Do your job, all right? Don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All from this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team
of the league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you.
Nice.
You're
the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.